Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 8 is where we're at this evening.
And God remembered Noah, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the water were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountain of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro into the waters until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. The dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth off the ark. Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl, of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and of offered burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, as the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Father, please help me this evening as we discuss Genesis chapter 8. Give me power on high. Help the Holy Spirit to meet with us. May you be honored, Father. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, when I was reading Genesis chapter 8, I try to go through and I try to find some things that will help in outlining the passage of Scripture. The first thing that I want us to see is very, very first verse of chapter 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The first thing that I see here is I see that God will never let you down. God is never going to let you down. Here Noah has been in the ark for quite a while. A lot of animals on there. Probably not the greatest ventilation system. Probably a little stir crazy. They are in this ark of protection. And the Bible says God remembered Noah. It's not that God ever forgot Noah, but it's letting us know that God does know and will remember us even when we go through trials and tribulations. You are not forgotten by God, and I want you to know, church family, I want you to know this, that God will never let you down. He will never let you down. If he has to create a wind to sweep over your life to dry up the dry thing or the wet things in your life, then he'll do that for you. But God will never let you down. I do find it interesting that they landed safely on the seventh month. We talked about this a little bit last week, how important the number seven is. The number seven means completeness or perfect. And the number 17 also means a form of completeness, but not as complete as the number seven. And the Bible says that the ark landed on the seventh month. But then I see these birds. What about the birds? I find the Bible doesn't ever mention anything by mistake, and so I gave this a lot of thought. I was trying to figure out why God wanted us to know that Noah sent out a raven. The raven did nothing. He let out the raven when the boat was rested upon Mount Ararat, or the mountains of Ararat. When the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat, Noah lets out a raven. And the Bible says the raven went back and forth from the ark until the land was dried up. That raven never came back into the ark. 7 days later, Noah sends out a dove. That dove came back that night. Noah reached out and grabbed that dove and brought it back into the ark. 7 days later, Noah resends that dove out. That crazy old raven, he's still outside going back and forth. But that dove goes back out, and that night, that dove comes home again with an olive branch. 7 days later, Noah again sends that dove out, and that raven is still going back and forth from the ark doing no good at all. The dove, this time, never returns. I looked up what raven could mean in the Bible. I tried to figure it out. I was giving it some great pondering thought just the other evening, and I said, "Dear God, I know there's something here, but I can't figure it out. Could you kind of help me out, please?" And I got an idea. I'm not going to be dogmatic on this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God told him to send out a raven or a dove. I kind of feel like when Noah sent out a raven, he was so desperate to find out what was going on because he still couldn't see anything that he took the first bird that he could grab, a raven, and he threw that raven out the window and said, "Boy, I hope that raven brings back something." But that raven did no earthly good to Noah. Even when Noah was off the boat, the Bible says that raven flew back and forth from the ark until the land was dry. Noah's probably building a house and there's that crazy old raven up there flying back and forth from the ark. Kind of reminded me of me. How many times have I tried to do things on my own power? Do things under my own cognizance. And yet that provided little peace in Noah's life. Noah takes that raven, throws it out the window. That raven could live off of the carnage that was out on the open waters for many, many years. There was a lot of dead things floating in that water. And ravens are those kind of birds that will eat rotten flesh. And so that bird would fly out, find a piece of meat, eat a little bit, fly back to the ark. Fly back out. No olive branch. No indication that the waters are abating. And it kind of reminds me of human beings, how so many times when we have a situation in our life, we try to do things in and of our own selves. And you know what? It just makes us frustrated is what it does, because we go back and forth on things, never accomplishing anything. But when I do study the dove is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when Christ was baptized? In Luke, you can see it, it's in the Gospels. But in Luke it says, "And the Holy Spirit descended like a dove," an appearance of a dove. So when Christ was being baptized, the Holy Spirit came down as a dove. And when that dove brought forth that olive branch, does anybody know what a dove and an olive branch represents? To this day, it still means peace. When you see a dove with an olive branch in its mouth, it's a representation of peace. And when I was sitting there contemplating, why in the world did God tell us? What's the raven got to do with anything? I mean, God could have just skipped that over, and I don't think we'd have been any worse off. We'd have said, hey, Noah sent out a dove. As a matter of fact, many of you probably didn't even remember or realize that Noah sent out a raven first. But you knew he sent out a dove. And I believe that it's important. I kind of have a feeling that maybe Noah just felt like he was going to figure it out himself. And 7 days later, he decided to send the dove. And I kind of have an idea that maybe he thought this thing through a little bit, and maybe the Lord was kind of leading him on this one, and he sent out the dove, and the dove did come home. Came back into the ark. Sometimes in our lives, we try to do things in our own power. We try to outsmart our enemies. We try to provide peace in our life, and we cannot provide peace. Only He can provide peace. Now, we do need to live peaceably as much as we can with all men. The Bible says that lieth within us. We should live peaceably. But when we try to provide peace in our life outside of the leading of God, we usually just have a bird that goes back and forth in our life that really does us no good. It's going to carnage, to carnage, to carnage, back to the ark, to carnage, back to our life, carnage, back to our life. And long after the problem's over, here's that ugly bird that we caused to keep going back and forth in our life because we were trying to provide some kind of peace or information. But if we let the Holy Spirit lead us, if we let the Holy Spirit guide us, the Holy Spirit will provide peace and comfort in our hearts. And I see that those birds were a way for us to see how it is in life. The ravens represent our ideas, and the dove represents the Holy Spirit's leading, which provides peace. So friend, I want you to know that God will never let you down. And when you and I have a problem and we have a circumstance and we've been on troubled water and it seems like we're a little stuck somewhere, but we're not exactly sure where we're at, I want you to know that God's not going to let you down, and we need to lean on the Holy Spirit, and we need to let Him guide and lead our life instead of making our own decisions without His guidance. The second thing that I see is not only will God never let you down, but number two, we should let God lead our life. Noah is on this boat, and the Bible says that Noah landed on a certain day. As a matter of fact, we're here where he opens up the window, and it's the first day of the first month. The first day of the first month. You'll find that in, I believe, verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up. That's 1,657 years to the day that God said, let there be light. 1,657 years later, God dried up the land. Now, we see that the land's dried up on the first day of the first month, but guess what? Noah doesn't get off the boat. Why didn't Noah get off the boat? Because God didn't tell Noah to get off the boat. It was the second month and the 27th day in the second month. So 1 month and 27 days later, finally God says, all right, Noah, you can get off the boat. Now, I got to be honest with you. If I knew that the land was dry, I'd have probably wanted to get off the boat. And I probably wouldn't have wanted to wait for an answer from God to tell me to get off the boat. Why did God wait so long? I have no earthly idea. Maybe He was just making sure Noah was willing to listen. And so we need to make sure that we let God lead our life. And I find the importance here that God will never let us down. I also find the importance here that we need to let God lead us in our life. We need to wait on the Lord. A lot of times, you and I, we get ahead of Christ. We get ahead of the Holy Spirit. We are not a patient people. I am not a patient person, but society in general is not a very patient people. I mean, we want our McDonald's 30 seconds quicker than they ever can get it out to us. We want our food microwaved in minutes, not hours. We want our car to... I find the gas station that doesn't have those pumps that go click, click. I don't know, there's a couple of gas stations around here where I'm trying to fill up the car, and you really know it when it's cold, and that thing just, it's just so slow. Then there's a couple, man, and they are super fast, and that's the ones I want. I don't even want to wait to pump my gas. You know, society, we're impatient people. Question, would you prefer to watch commercials or skip over them? Some people will pay online services so that they don't have to watch the commercials during their binge watching on television. I was noticing this the other day on CBS. They have their own CBS channel. For $5.99 a month, you can watch CBS All Access with commercials. But for $9.99 a month, you can watch them without commercials. And I guarantee you that most people do the $9.99. Why? Because we're impatient people. We don't want to wait. You know, binge watching is a big thing right now because we don't want to wait for the next episode. We want to watch the next episode right now. And we'll be 12 hours into our eyes will be square. There's just one more episode. I can endure. We're impatient people. Society is an impatient society. But you know, God warns us and tells us to wait on Him. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. In my ministry, there were times that I was in a hurry. I was in a hurry. I mean, 5 years into being a youth pastor, you know, that's 5 years. A youth pastor lasts about 18 months. And that's pretty typical for a youth pastor because most youth pastors don't go into the youth group thinking that they're going to be a youth pastor forever. I did. I really had no ambitions of doing anything else. But after 5 years of being a youth pastor, you're thinking, I don't know if I could do this forever. So God, what do you got for me here? What's going on here? And God started stirring my nest years before He ever let me fly the coop. Years. I mean, I could probably go back to my emails and my text messages for my dad, and I could probably go back 10 years to where I was, Dad, I don't know, something's not right. I'm just so unhappy right now. I need to do something different. And Dad says, that's just God stirring your nest. What do you want? What should I do? Just wait. I don't want to wait. Just wait. If you're seeking, and I've said this before, this is something that God gave me, but if you're seeking the exit, God's not going to let you miss it. You ever drove down interstate? You really didn't know where you were going, but you knew that you were trying to get there. And your GPS, you didn't have a GPS, and you knew you needed to take it exit 139. The next thing you know, you're at exit 140. You miss the exit, you know, you're frustrated, so now you got to turn around and go back. Ever happened to you? That's not going to happen to you in life if you're waiting and seeking the will of God. If He has to blow your tire out to get you off the exit, He'll get you off the exit if you're seeking. Wait on the Lord. So many times we've been impatient. I want it. I need it now. And God says, stay on the ark. Well, the land's dry, God. I didn't say get off. I mean, 1 month and 27 days later. You know, I could see 6 days. All right, get off. 8 days, 2 weeks, 1 month maybe. But a month and 27 days later, I'm OCD, so I'd be saying, God, just give me 3 more days. Got to make it 2 even months. But 1 month and 27 days later, God says, get off the ark. They'd been on there for a long time, over a year. They didn't get to feel the wind and the breeze for over a year, and finally God says, get off the ark. Friend, I just want you and I to be reminded that we need to wait on God. And then finally, I see here, and there's several things about this chapter, but the final thing that I see is God deserves our worship. Noah gets off the ark. There's probably not too many trees around. There are some trees budding up on top of the mountains. But there's probably not too many trees around. So there's not enough wood. I mean, the trees have been growing for less than a year, so there's not enough trees to cut down to make houses. So what are they going to do? Well, I suppose they probably took an axe to the ark. That's what I would do. And used the wood from the ark to build my house. That's probably what they did. But before any of that took place, the Bible says that God took the clean animals and he had a burnt sacrifice unto the Lord. And the Bible says the smoke went up as a sweet smelling fragrance to the nostrils of God. You remember back when we were talking about Noah being born? That was probably 2 months ago. Noah was born to a man by the name of Lamech. And Lamech named him Noah and said, his name is Noah because he shall bring comfort to the world. He and his wife and 3 boys and their wife. That's it. That's all that's on the world. But he provided comfort because in that moment when God smells that sweet-smelling fragrance of offering and worship that God still wants us to do today. No, he doesn't want us to literally kill an animal and put it on the altar, but I believe our knees and prayer can bring forth a sweet-smelling fragrance to the nostrils of God that will do wonders in your life and my life too. Worshiping the Almighty. And in that moment where God smells that sweet-smelling fragrance, God makes a promise to mankind. He provides you and me comfort. You know, we'll never be destroyed by flood again. You know this thing called global warming? You heard about it, right? It's hogwash. Well, I believe Al Gore. Go ahead. But it's still hogwash. You say, how do you know? Because I believe the Bible. Let's look at these last few verses in Genesis chapter 8. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. Look at the next one. Cold. We experienced that last week. Heat. We're going to experience that tomorrow. I think it said 67 degrees tomorrow. Summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. You say, well, the polar bears are struggling to swim. Good, they're the only natural predators to man, so let them die. They want to come and hunt me? I'd rather them be dead. They're nice to see in a zoo somewhere. I'm kidding about that. But they're going to be just fine. And it's not getting warmer and warmer, as we saw just a couple weeks ago when pretty much the whole United States was cold. That's just man trying to play God. And friend, we can't play God. God says there's going to be harvest and seed. There's going to be seed time and harvest until he destroys the earth with fire, and he will one day destroy the earth with fire. It's going to happen. It's after millennium. It's not going to be in your or my lifetime. We'll be in heaven. Well, we'll probably be reigning with Christ here on earth, because the Bible says the church will ever be with Christ. And when Christ comes to earth for a 1,000-year millennial reign, guess where we'll be with him? Because the Bible says we'll forever be with the Lord. I take the Bible literally when it's literal. And so Christ is going to set up his millennial reign. And after that, Satan's going to be released from his bottomless pit. And he's going to go after against God. And God's going to destroy the earth, the great white throne judgment. And the heaven and the earth fled away. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth were passed away. And friend, I want you to know that God will destroy the earth one day, but he won't do it with water. And he won't do it to destroy mankind. He did it the first time because of man's sin. He said, I'm going to destroy man because of the way they're living. But he said, I'll never do it again. The next time he destroys the earth, we'll all be off of it. And friend, I want you to know you don't have to worry about the future. God's got it. You don't have to worry about seed time and harvest. That does not mean that man should not be responsible. Man should be responsible. What was Adam and Eve's first job in the Garden of Eden? To tend to the garden, to take care of the garden. Guess what we're supposed to take care of? We're supposed to take care of the earth. It's responsibility that man has been given. We're not just to go cut down trees just to watch them fall. We're not just to shoot an animal just to watch it die. It needs to serve a purpose if you need to cut down a tree, and it needs to serve a purpose if you'd kill an animal. We are still tenders of the garden. We are supposed to take care of this planet, be responsible. That would be what God would want. But we're not going to have to worry about us destroying this planet, because God promised that there would be seed time and harvest. God deserves our worship. And because of that promise and that worship, God smelled that sweet fragrance. And the Lord promised to never destroy man with water again. He promised to always have seed time and harvest. He promised that there would be day and that there would be night. And he promised that there would be heat and there would be cold. And I'm just going to cling to the promises of God, and not some person that thinks they know more than God and they're studying science. You and I can take great comfort here. You and I need to worship God. You and I need to wait on God. And you and I need to realize that God will never let us down. I find this in Genesis chapter 8. If you're here this evening and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know that He prepared an ark for Noah and for any man that would get on. And I want you to know that He provided a way for you. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came to earth, died for our sins, 3 days later arose again. And He paid it all. And if you're here today and you're still in your sins and you've never asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, to be your Savior, and God has offered you a free gift of salvation, and I pray that you'll take that this evening.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.